We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. On the line with us right now is Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Ryan, how are you? Thanks for the time.
Bobby and Kristen, I'm doing great. It's always good to be on with you guys.
Indeed. So, Ryan, Clippers, Jazz. Jazz lead that series 1-0 so far. Do you think this goes to 7? Do you think the Clippers can pull this off?
I do. I think this is a very competitive and evenly matched series. Last night's game 1 went kind of the way I thought it may, with the Clippers playing well early and getting up and then running out of steam in the second half. You look at that third quarter in particular, the Clippers only scored 19 points in the third. The Jazz had 32, so they were a plus 13 there. And I just think the fatigue of a hard-fought seven-game series, not only the physical fatigue, guys, but the mental, emotional fatigue the Clippers faced at going down 0-2 after having lost the first two games at Staples Center and then hearing all the noise about here we go again, it's a collapse again this year. They played well. Obviously, they won 4 out of 5 to close out the series. But I think the toll from that seven-game series against Dallas in the first round caught up with them last night in the second half in Salt Lake City.
Now, Ryan, when you look out east, the Bucks just seem like they're overwhelmed with the Nets, and the Nets don't even have all hands on deck. I mean, so what is your take with that? I mean, then you look at the Greek Freak, you say, I'm committed to being in Milwaukee, but, it sure seems like, it's a different level of basketball. Now, I'm not saying they could maybe win a game, but I'd be surprised if the Bucks could bounce back against the Nets.
Yeah, I think Brooklyn's the best team remaining and the best team in the league at this point by a pretty wide margin, guys. They had the best offense in NBA history when you look at the offensive rating. And keep in mind, they did almost all of that without having their three superstars, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden playing together. So that's how good they are. I mean, look at the other night. James Harden does not play, and they're up 49 on the Milwaukee Bucks, who have one of the best records in the league. Kevin Durant, to me, has been the most unguardable player in the playoffs. I mean, really, he's been the most unguardable offensive player in the league probably over the past 5 or 6 years when he's been healthy. Brooklyn's loaded, and for Milwaukee, I think they cracked the other night, and I'm really interested to see Game 3 tomorrow night. The series shifts back to Milwaukee, so back in their home arena at Fiserv Forum, can they compete? And obviously they hope to win the game and not go down 0-3, but that was embarrassing what we saw in Game 2 the other night, and Milwaukee's going to need a lot better performance, especially on the defensive end, if they want to have a chance against this loaded Nets team.
Now, Ryan, two-part question to stay in the East before I go the Western Conference. A pleasant surprise. You look at the Atlanta Hawks where they're at, and you look at the 76ers. So what is your take on that? Is it all about Joel Embiid or what? When you look what's going to happen in the East. And the second part of that question, I don't know. I'm kind of like blue collar. I've always been a Chris Paul fan. Seems like wherever he's at, he wins. Look at the difference what he did with Oklahoma City with the Thunder as far as making them a playoff team. And then how can you not like Monty Williams or Chris Paul? That, to me, you're just a hater. Come on.
Yeah, starting in the Eastern Conference with the Atlanta Hawks, they've been excellent so far in the playoffs. They took care of the Knicks in round one. And I think the difference in that series was Atlanta just has more talent and depth up and down the roster. Trae Young was terrific in that series and has been really good again here in round two against the Philadelphia 76ers. So I think the Atlanta-Philly series is going to be a long, hard-fought, competitive series. Philly has the best player in the series when he's healthy, Joel Embiid, but we have to keep an eye on that knee, see if it holds up and how well and how much he's able to play the rest of the way. Obviously, he was phenomenal last night with 40 points and 13 rebounds in Philly's win to even the series at one game apiece. But I don't think that's a fluke, guys. I think Atlanta's very good. As I look at the series, I think Philly has more talent at the top of the roster, but Atlanta has more depth. So we'll see who wins that battle. I give a slight edge to Philly, but again, Embiid has to stay healthy there. And then the second part of your question with Phoenix, obviously I was with the franchise for 5 years and brought in a few of the guys who were there. But, yeah, it's really turned over the last couple of years. You know, we added some young talent from 2013 to 18 when I was the GM. But, you know, Chris Paul coming in, really organizing the young guys, getting them in spots. More than anything, I think, Bobby, keeping them calm under pressure. You know that. You've been in the huddle. Chris Paul's like a quarterback out there. When things get tight or tense or the other team goes on a run, he just really settles and slows the game down. And he's an excellent decision maker, maybe the best in the league. And then Monty Williams, a guy that I thought should have won Coach of the Year. Obviously, Tom Thibodeau got it in New York. It's hard to really argue with that. But I thought Monty Williams' team here in Phoenix, starting in the bubble last year when they went 8-0 in Orlando and throughout the course of the 72-game season this year, I thought they played harder and more consistently night in and night out than any team in the league.
Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough here on Sports Talk. Will Ben Simmons' struggles at the free throw line be something that cost them late in ballgame? Started out 0-9 in the postseason, now shooting 32% from the line.
Well, and Ryan, along with Christian saying, and I understand if you're like a center or something, you can't be a guard. And come on, you got to make a free throw. I mean, you know, in the offseason, whatever, is it a priority? But come on, you got to make your free throws. I mean, is that, to me, that's mind-boggling, right, when I look at that. They need to get back old-school Rick Barry. Maybe you scoop it in underhand or whatever. You should at least be able to make 70% if you're a guard. Come on.
Yeah, and well, that's a concern, guys. I mean, not only the you know, the lack of efficiency from the free throw line, but when I've watched Ben Simmons, even, you know, going back to the regular season now for a couple of years, there are times he does not want to get fouled. He's a big, strong, athletic guy, as you guys know, and there are times where, to me, he's clearly avoiding contact because he does not want to go to the free throw line. That's the problem, guys. I mean, that's the most efficient play in basketball is to get fouled, and then if you make, you know, 80-plus percent of your free throws, then that's a very good play by whatever metric. The eye test, analytics, all that kind of stuff. So for Ben Simmons not wanting to use that size, strength, and athleticism to get to the free throw line is a problem, and I think it's become a mental thing with him. And certainly when you look at a very talented Philly team, Tobias Harris has played very well lately. Embiid's a superstar, an MVP candidate this year. They're going to look for an advantage, and especially if those guys have it going, you know, Harris and Embiid have it going, the easiest way to slow Philly down and get them out of rhythm is to intentionally foul Ben Simmons basically any time he has the ball in the last couple minutes or even prior to that. You can foul him intentionally off the ball as well.
Now, Ryan, as far as from a ratings perspective, to me, I just look at this on paper, and it's like, well, it's New York. I know it's not the Knicks, but Brooklyn. You'd want them in the finals coming out of the East. And obviously, you'd want the Clippers because that's L.A. versus New York, even though it's not the Lakers and the Knicks, but it's L.A. versus New York. Would that still be a good showing? And how would you look at that if it would be like a Nets, a Jazz, or a Nets Suns type final?
Yeah, obviously New York and L.A. are the two biggest media markets in the country, so I think that would probably be a good thing for the league, although both of those teams, as you guys know, are the second most popular teams in a two-team market. I mean, New York, Manhattan's a Knicks town, and L.A. is clearly a Lakers town. So I don't know. I'll be interested to see how that goes. But you hit the nail on the head, guys. And the league is obviously really happy about this. The ratings on TV last year in the Orlando bubble were not very good. Now, we all know it was the unique circumstances with COVID and the league being well off schedule and competing against football and all that. But that was reason for concern. So it's nice to see the ratings bounce back. I know the Game 7 between the L.A. Clippers and Dallas Mavericks did a tremendous number here this past Sunday. So I think if Brooklyn's in it, because it's New York and also because they have three superstars, hopefully Harden's right in the lineup as well, but with Durant and Kyrie. And then in the West, you know, Clippers probably draw the biggest number, but I think people also like the story, you know, of the Phoenix Suns and the Utah Jazz. Those teams had the best records in the league this year, so I'll be really interested to see if it's one of those two or the Denver Nuggets in the finals. I think a lot of teams would get behind them, especially if an underdog team or perceived underdog in the Western Conference is playing a loaded Brooklyn Nets team.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, Ryan, because it just caught my attention with the Nuggets and Jokic, you know, being the MVP. I mean, sometimes when he's shooting his shot or he's just working the ball, I mean, you could hope you could slide an envelope under his feet. To me, his skill set, passing, I think a lot of people don't appreciate that, your passing ability, but just his overall game. I mean, it's truly been amazing. And the NBA truly could say that they are international and a world sport when you consider what the NBA and the MVPs that they produce in professional basketball.
No question about it. In fact, for the third year in a row, we had an international player win the MVP. Now, the previous 2 years, it was obviously the same guy, the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, but from you know, born in Nigeria, raised in Greece, and now a Serbian guy who, you know, to me, guys, I put this on my Twitter yesterday at McDNBA. I think he may be the most unlikely MVP in the history of American sports, at least as far as I know. I've seen some arguments for, you know, Tom Brady as a sixth-round pick, and I understand those. But, guys, Jokic was the 41st pick in the draft. The latest pick, the latest slot that an MVP was selected prior to that was 15th.
Whoa.
Which were Giannis and Steve Nash are both the 15th pick. So we're talking about, you know, 25, 35 picks, 30 picks later in that range there. And then this is a guy who, with the Denver Nuggets in the 2014 draft, they drafted two guys before him. They drafted Jusuf Nurkic, who's now with the Trailblazers, and Gary Harris, who they traded to Orlando before Nikola Jokic in that draft. So it's a phenomenal story. It's a phenomenal player. Tim Connelly, the president of basketball ops for the Nuggets, does a great job. He said, look, any of us, all of us, would be lying if we said we thought this was possible, but it's a 6'11 guy with great hands and feet. More than anything for me, guys, a beautiful mind. We talked about Chris Paul earlier in the show. He's a basketball savant and gets a lot of credit for it, but Nikola Jokic is as well. He just happens to be close to 7 feet tall.
NBA insider Ryan McDonough, also former NBA executive. Ryan, I want to ask you a couple of questions. I got a couple more for you, one or two about the Pelicans. But first, LeBron's changing his number to number 6 next season. So what do you see as the future for the Lakers? In particular, they got a lot of tied up picks tied to the Pelicans.
Well, yeah. The number 6 is probably trying to sell more jerseys, right?
Who knows?
I don't react to the jersey numbers or the swap as much as some people do. To me, that's kind of a non-story. But I think with the Lakers, they're at kind of a tipping point, guys. I mean, they're at a dangerous point. LeBron is now approaching his late 30s. He's still playing at an extremely high level, but I watched every game of that series against Phoenix, the 6 they played against the Suns in the first round, and LeBron did not look quite as explosive to me. We heard he had some ankle issues that he was battling. So at some point, I know we keep saying this every year, but at some point he's going to drop off. And then if Anthony Davis isn't healthy, and I don't need to tell you guys and your listeners in New Orleans about Anthony Davis, his health and his medical history, if he's not healthy, then the Lakers have a lot of money tied up in their top two guys and not a lot of ways to make their team better, as you guys mentioned. They're out a lot of draft picks and owing them to the Pelicans. So they have to be careful this offseason. Dennis Schroeder played okay. He's an unrestricted free agent who's going to want a lot of money. And then Montrezl Harrell, their big free agent signing last year, did not really pan out. He was getting DNPs and stuck to the bench. So I think the Pelicans are in a pretty good spot. Obviously, they don't control it, but there are some scenarios in which if the Lakers don't make the right moves and LeBron ages and AD remains injury-prone, that those picks look pretty good for the Pels.
Now, Ryan, when I look at to me, you have to be consistent. And when I look at LeBron, now, are you a basketball player or more than a basketball player? I'm involved in society, and you know, I'm going to give you my opinion. To me, I think a lot of fans, when they look at LeBron, whether you like LeBron, because it seems like either you like LeBron or you don't like LeBron. It's no middle ground. So what is your take when you look at a guy like LeBron James? And everyone listens to whatever, you know, he's like E.F. Hutton. When LeBron speaks, people listen. So when he makes a statement and he's talking about social justice, you can respect that. But you cannot be hypocritical. Don't you have to be for social justice throughout the world, not just the United States, when you look at Hong Kong versus China? Now, we all know the bottom line, money's involved with the Chinese government. But if you're truly for social justice, you can't be on the Chinese government side over the Hong Kong citizens, considering what they're dealing with. See, to me, then, you know, you bit off more you could chew if you're not truly investigating enough of what you're trying to talk about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, LeBron has consistently been among the most outspoken players in the NBA about a number of issues, including social justice and business and policing and, you know, all kinds of things. So, I totally get your point. You know, that's the difference between he and Michael Jordan, right? I mean, Michael Jordan had the famous line, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, Republicans buy sneakers to everybody.
Right.
You know, he wanted to be well-liked and marketable to everybody. LeBron, you know, kind of does the opposite of that, where there's a certain faction of people who I think really, you know, like him and hang on every word, and then a certain faction who really don't and you know, wish he'd stick more to hoops. I think the China thing, you know, was a tough thing for him and his, I don't say credibility or reputation, whatever you want to call it, but to be outspoken on a number of issues domestically and then to kind of clam up with the China situation. I think, you know, if enough people around the league noticed that and realized that. And you know, it seemed like that, you know, he wanted Daryl Morey, the GM of the Rockets at the time, to be reprimanded for it, but he wasn't, you know, willing to kind of take a stand about what was going on in China. So,
you know what, Ryan? He wanted him to be reprimanded, but he didn't know enough about internationally what's going on in China. Come on, even if you for social, if you for social justice, you cannot be on the side of the Chinese government or over the Hong Kong population. Would you consider that all of a sudden China took it over? I want to say 1997, 1998, when all of a sudden it's supposed to be 50 years, but it's not quite 50 years, and they're bringing the hammer down. No, listen, you got a lot of players talking about something that it's an international thing. They don't know what they're talking about. And then they all of a sudden they find out, oh, this might be touching my money. I'm going to go a different regard. But if you are truly for justice or social justice, you have to be international. You can't just be what's happening in America.
Yeah, no, I totally understand, you know, your point and where you're coming from. And that's why when I was an executive for 15-plus years with the Boston Celtics and Phoenix Suns, you know, we tell our players, look, we'll support you. You have the right. It's a free country. You can speak your mind. But just make sure you're educated and informed and consistent. You know, I think that's what everybody's looking for. And the final point I make there, guys, I think you and your listeners know this, but that China is a huge market for NBA players with their, you know, the sneaker deals in particular and branding.
Yes.
Right or wrong, and I personally don't think it's right, but that is a reason that LeBron and other players and other people around the league, I think, kind of clammed up when it came to China, because, like you said, that could potentially impact the business side of things as well if they're too outspoken in the Chinese, you know, have some blowback based on their comments.
Amen, Ryan. Listen, I'm glad you're speaking the truth because it's all about the money. When you think it's not about the money, it's all about the money. Come on. I'm glad you were straightforward, Ryan. I appreciate that.
Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough, former NBA executive. Ryan, this is the last one from me before I let you run. What did you think of Stan Van Gundy's first year as a Pels coach?
I thought it was uneven, guys. You know, I thought they underachieved. I realize they had a lot of moving parts, starting with the Jrue Holiday trade. That he was one of their best players. But they have a big offseason, obviously, they, you know, decide what to do with Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart, who are both restricted free agents. And then, you know, the additions of Eric Bledsoe and Steven Adams in particular, who they traded for and extended, didn't work out great. So I think next season is really important. They need to take advantage of this window, guys, before Zion gets a max contract, especially with Ingram on a max contract. So I think, you know, organizationally, not just with Stan, they're going to need to show a lot of improvement next year. And I think they will if they make the right moves, because that's a fairly talented roster.
Ryan McDonough, great stuff, man. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, Ryan.
Anytime, guys.
All right, that was Odyssey NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
No, he was keeping it real because if you're truly for social justice, you're for social justice throughout the world. Not just what you perceive in the United States, but you have to also look at China.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.